Uncle Sam is going to come for your money pretty soon.
Let him try.
We're going to do our taxes, and we're going to do them right. Because the IRS is coming, and they're brimming for a fight.
Oh, we're going to do our taxes, and I think we'd all agree that doing our taxes yearly is what keeps us safe and free.
Yes, I'm not going to agree.
Oh, they're going to do
it. Jason, is that Jason Glassberg singing? Jason, is this from your new CD that just dropped?
No, it is not.
No.
Ethical hacker Jason Glassberg on the line with us, co-founder of Kasaba Security. We're all starting to get our, are they W-2s? Are they W-4s? Which are they that we're getting in the mail right now?
The W-2s.
You'll be getting your W-2s, yeah.
I can never remember what they are. I just know that I put them all in a big manila envelope and then give them to my accountant. Mm-hmm. And every year I swear I'm going to do it earlier. But April 15th, although we do have an extension for 2 days, right? April 17th this year?
Jason, do we have an extension?
Oh,
because it falls on a Sunday, and then there's, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I was just still getting over that introduction. That's quite the song you guys
have. Yes, our goal is to shock you, and we won.
All right, is this year going to be any different in people in tax fraud? I mean, is it worse now? Is it easier to get hacked or somebody to steal your identity during tax season?
You know, every year it just gets worse and worse. And there's just no question that, you know, the attack on the American taxpayer is only going to increase this year. I mean, with the amount of money involved and the amount of breaches that have occurred over the year, don't, you know, lest we forget the Equifax, you know, problem earlier this year, the number of accounts that have been compromised are that much higher, you know, 140 million accounts. And so there's every possibility that this year could be a record year for tax time fraud.
So would you say that a lot of this stems from the fact that it's all done electronically? Like there was a time where that was impossible, but now it's the norm to do it electronically. Is that our biggest problem here, Jason?
Well, it is one of the problems. Unfortunately, there's a number of ways that people get scammed. So certainly the phishing attack or the texting attack where someone pretends to be an IRS employee is a huge problem. The sophistication of these kinds of phishing attacks have just become incredibly hard to discern between what's a legitimate email and what's not a legitimate email. But, you know, more traditional methods of fraud still exist also, from people calling from fake, phone banks pretending to be IRS agents, to craziness like people going and actually stealing letters and checks out of mailboxes. So, there's all sorts of ways people get defrauded.
All right. We've gotten those phone calls for many, many years now. It's been going on, for 3 to 5 years where the IRS calls and you're under arrest if you don't call them back. Who in their right mind would fall for that at this point?
Well, the problem is, I don't know, but there are enough people do because, again, it's really just a crime of percentages. You know, these phone calls don't cost very much. You can fake a caller ID. So even if one person out of 1,000 falls for it, the cost of entry or the cost of pulling off this crime is really not that high. So they only need to have a small percentage of people fall for it. The important thing for people to remember and the listeners to remember is that the IRS will never contact you via telephone. The IRS will never contact you via email. The only way the IRS will contact a taxpayer is through U.S. mail. So unless the contact is initiated through a letter you've gotten in your mailbox, it's not a legitimate IRS contact.
January 29th was the day where the IRS began accepting tax returns, which I don't know anyone who has everything ready to file on January 29th. And I've been hearing it's best to do it early. Why is that?
Well, one of the reasons why is because when someone has compromised your ID or when you've been the victim of ID theft, a very popular method of attack is to go and file taxes in your name, looking for a refund and trying to change your address. So someone fraudulently goes, pretends to be you, and tries to take a refund check out in your name.
Ah.
And so obviously the earlier you can file your own taxes, the better off you'll be. But again, if you get a letter from the IRS saying that, your refund has been processed, your change of address has been processed, and you haven't actually done that, it's a pretty good sign you've got a problem and should, you know, contact the IRS.
So, Jason, just to make sure I'm following that one correctly, somebody will actually attempt to pay your taxes so that they'll get your refund. So they put money forward to get it get more back, hopefully. Is that what's going on there?
No, the refund.
Just the refund. Nobody's actually paying
God, I wish I could find somebody to pay my taxes.
Exactly. That would be that kind of an interesting way to go about it. No, normally, they would go, you know, for the most part, many Americans go and have more taxes taken out than they normally pay.
Right.
That way, they don't have a financial surprise.
Yeah.
And so what's going on here is someone goes in, changes your address, and also processes you for the processes the IRS for the refund. They get the check, and because they have your identity, they have either opened up another account fraudulently in your name or have been able to produce enough kind of fake ID to be able to cash with them.
Do we have any kind of statistics on how many of these people who commit the fraud are caught and what happens to them afterwards? Does anybody follow up on that?
I don't have statistics at my fingertips. There was a year and a half ago, there was an absolutely gigantic ring, though, of international criminals who are actually, you know, centered out of Vietnam, who were caught. But of course, it's like playing a game of whack-a-mole, because as soon as you catch one group, you have another group that come back. And the fact of the matter is, as we were saying, the cost of actually pulling off these crimes is so low that it only takes a small percentage to be successful to make it profitable for the bad guys.
Is there a particular type of person who's a target for these scams? I mean, I'm liking to think if these bad guys go after rich people, they'll get a big score, but it's probably easier to go after anyone, like Joe Everyman.
Well, it is. Again, a wide spectrum of people, unfortunately, fall for these things. But generally speaking, most of the victims tend to be older folks and kind of less sophisticated folks who may not necessarily be on the fringe of society, but, you know, when they're contacted by a government entity, might suddenly, you know, get scared and be like, what can I do? What do I need to do? And those are the folks who tend to fall for kind of the phone scams where, you know, payment is demanded or you will be arrested, which is clearly not the way the government operates.
It does scare you, though. Come on. You get these calls. For a minute, you're like, wow, I don't want to be arrested.
Right.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, these people are masters of manipulating people's fears and masters of manipulating, you know, people who are just, in a sense, scared. And so they look to take advantage of that. I mean, some of these seem so farcical on the surface. I mean, there's a reported incident where these folks were called and payment was demanded with Apple iTunes cards. What government entity would ever have an Apple iTunes
card? Oh, is that funny?
Card. But, people did it. And so people do fall for this stuff.
Jason, I'm shocked people fall for it. I was just telling a business associate of mine who's a Nigerian prince. We're working on an online thing together. He couldn't believe it, and I couldn't believe it. Neither of us could. Ethical hacker Jason Glassberg is our guest, the co-founder of Kasaba Security. If you have any questions or comments, call now. 312-981-7200 gets that done. We'll be back after these messages. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, it's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder along with Jason Glassberg. Jason is the ethical hacker. He's a good kind of hacker, not the bad kind of hacker. You can find him at kasaba.com. His Twitter handle is at Kasaba Security. So, Jason, what do we do? We can't just hold up a white flag and give up. What do we do about the idea of tax fraud and how we're going to get in trouble with it?
Well, you know, like everything else you do online, you always just need to be vigilant and be cognizant of the fact that there are bad guys out there. And so, you know, you don't want to do obviously silly things like, you know, randomly send your tax returns to some website. I mean, you want to verify if you're dealing with some online tax service, you want to verify who it is you're dealing with and preferably hand over documents if you can, or send them if you can. And if you do send them online, like I say, you want to verify that the person you're dealing with is legitimate, you know. And again, remember that the IRS only contacts individuals via postal service mail, not with phone calls and not with email. So unless you've gotten a letter in the mail from the IRS, who's ever trying to contact you is not legitimate. And again, just be remember, you know, that it's a bad and crazy world out there, and you need to verify who it is you're dealing with.
And I do everything online. Bill, on the other hand, do you do online banking or anything really?
No, I do not.
I am not afraid of it. I don't know why. You know, having your bank, if something is fraudulent, you just keep track of it. I think having an online app, I keep track of my bank account more frequently than someone else who gets a monthly statement. And if there's any question at all, you call your bank. And a lot of places have that two-step authentication now where it's getting harder to hack, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, the thing is, the more people avail themselves of these security features, like the two-factor authentication that you talk about, where you have a password and you get a text message with a code that you need to enter, the safer folks are. Unfortunately, there's always a trade-off between convenience and security, right? The most secure things are always going to be somewhat more inconvenient to use, and there's always going to be one person in the group who feels that the trade-off for security and convenience isn't worth it. And unfortunately, they tend to be the ones who are more victimized. So it's perfectly safe to do your transactions online. And online banking is terrific because, as you mentioned, your records are right there in front of you, but you need to, you need to use the security tools that are made available to you.
Somebody has just texted in and said that they got their refund already last Saturday. I hate you, Texter.
Is that possible? Can you do it that fast? Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, you can. You can file your taxes right in the beginning of the year. I've just never met, as you mentioned, I've never met someone who was able to do that.
Very efficient.
And someone has a question, and it's kind of silly, but I'd like to know the answer as well. You had mentioned if someone changes your address, the IRS mails a notification of the change. Where do they mail it to? If it's the new address, it's not going to come to you. So I don't know how you'd know if your account or your IRS information has been compromised.
I believe they send a letter to the old one because the change doesn't happen immediately.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's true.
It's like when you do a change of address with the post office, you usually get a confirmation that the change has happened.
And perhaps they send one saying, you know, if this is accurate, if you've changed your address, don't do anything. If not, please contact us. Because I'm getting a lot of those emails now. Uh-huh. You know, you've signed on to Google from another computer. If this was not you, you know, right. Contact us and never go through the link. If I can say anything, you know, if you're getting an email from someone or a company, just go to their website directly. Don't ever follow the link. Would that be good advice, Jason?
That is beautiful advice, and that's absolutely true because, as we mentioned earlier, these fake mails, these phishing mails where they go and they craft something that looks like it's from the bank or looks like it's from a legitimate company, and they you click through and they ask for either your password and or they're able to install, you know, software. These fake mails have become so sophisticated that even an expert has a hard time knowing the difference. So you're very right. Either call the folks who have contacted you or go to their website and click on their link, and you'll always be much safer.
Jason, I want to ask you a question. Since the last time we talked to you, they've done away with signatures with credit card transactions. It used to be if you used your credit card somewhere, you had to you'd sign what looked like your name. You could sign Jack the Ripper or Elvis Presley. It didn't matter. They'd always okay it. But now that's a thing of the past. Nobody's asking you to sign anymore. What does that mean exactly? Does it just mean it was so ineffective that they don't even look at it? Is
our
that what
pizza
it meant?
Guy makes us sign?
Does he still?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they still can. It's still optional. It's called chip and pin because if you notice now, more than likely your credit card has what looks like a small chip in the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And what that allows you to do is that it's a much more sophisticated way of doing a credit card transaction. It used to be that you would swipe the card and there was a magnetic strip, and that magnetic strip would have all of your credit card information, your name, your account number, and then you would sign and you'd be good to go. I mean, we're talking about real, like, you know, 1950s, 60s technology, 8-track tape stuff.
Right, right.
Nowadays they've got a chip, and what that chip does is it allows them to do what's called a tokenizer, a one-time transaction. So a special code is created that is only valid for that one transaction that you've made. So if for some reason you were able to capture the transmission from the point of sale machine back to the, you know, on the network, you wouldn't be able to replay that that transaction code because it was unique to that one transaction.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Some of these other scams where they put a reader in on the credit card machine, mm-hmm. and or they're able to put some malware on a server and they capture the credit card number. You can reuse that credit card number. With this new chip technology, that transaction is only good that one time.
So it's good to know.
It's a much safer way to do these things. Yeah, it's and again, it's one of the reasons why you really you always really want to use your credit card as opposed to your ATM machine to do these kinds of transactions, because A, the credit card transaction tends to be a lot more sophisticated because of the chip, and also there are a lot more protections involved with fraud with your credit card.
And you can use, like my debit card, I can use as credit or debit, and I always use it as credit, and I think that's safer.
Right.
Also, before we let you go,
absolutely.
We only have a 20 seconds here, but when you said that strip of your debit card or credit card contains all that information, it gets me thinking about hotel cards. When you put your credit card down, when you check out of a hotel, should you keep those cards just in case? Isn't all your information on there?
No, that's just, they just, you mean the ones that let you go in and out
yeah.
of the door? Yeah, no, those are fine. Those get erased, and all those are doing is allowing, they're just allowing the door to go in and out. However, the danger there is those can also be spoofed, and so there have been cases where entire hotels have been let open because someone was able to spoof their card key system. So they're imperfect also. So you always use the safe.
All right. Yeah, use the safe. Thank you so much. Jason Glassberg, co-founder of Cassaba Security. You can find him at cassaba.com. You're also on Twitter at Cassaba Security, CASABA. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend, Jason. A quick break, some news, then more show. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.